23 ahead of 8 o'clock on First Take with Lando and Chavis. I'm Carlos along with Steve, and hey, we've got a great guest this morning.
An esteemed guest, Reverend Leon Kelly, founder of Open Door Youth Gang Alternatives. And good to have you in the house this morning, Rev.
Well, good to be in the house, D.
You know, there's always a career in radio if this gang intervention thing doesn't work out.
You know, I used to be on the have my show about 10 years ago.
That's right.
And, you know, being able to talk about community events and things that are going on nationwide. And it's good to be back in house.
Well, as the dean of youth gang intervention here in the Denver area, your career here actually precedes the Summer of Violence in 1993. You started maybe 8 years before that.
Yeah, about in 84 when we were just being introduced to the migration coming from California.
What was the spark?
A new influence. You know, if you think back in 84, 85, you know, Denver was a city that was on the rise. You know, we were experiencing the leadership of a new mayor. You know, if you remember Federico Pena, mm-hmm. ready, and he was a young mayor that had a vision of a new city, you know, a different city. And, you know,
he said, imagine a great city.
Yes. And here's this young man, first time in Denver's history of experiencing a Latino, you know, mayor, and a young man with a vision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were talking about back then a new vision, including a convention center,
right,
a new baseball, a professional baseball team, you know, Pepsi Center wasn't even a thought at one point. We're still dealing with McNichols, you know.
Yeah. International Airport.
Man.
We're still dealing with Stapleton.
Stapleton was cool because it was right down the street,
boy.
And then a light rail.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a light rail? But this was the vision of this young man here. Well, and along with that vision, you know, it did not come with, you know, with the blemish of introduction of gangs.
Well, the gangs of L.A. had a vision, too. They were looking at markets in Denver and expanding. Or that there was so much heat in L.A. that they had to go somewhere.
Well, you know, again, L.A. was looking at different options. You know, the jails were being overfilled. Cemeteries were high rank of business. Judges had to try to figure out some other options. You know, and one of those options was to relocate. You know, give you an option, either you leave town or you go to jail.
You've done this kind of gang intervention work for a couple decades now.
This is 29 years.
29 years. Do you count the funerals and the convictions that you've attended? You spend a lot of time in courts and at funerals.
In the earlier years, a lot of my time was spent in courts, at the jails, and doing funerals. And it's gotten to a point where, take note of it, you know, people sort of get immune to it to some degree. You know, I started what I would refer to as the death list. I started that pretty much in 1988. And just to try to log some of the tragedies that are happening in our neighborhood, you know, involving these young youth. Mm-hmm. And which, to date, you know, with the young man who lost his life a week ago, Gabriel Scott, he's 996 on my death list.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and those are just the ones that I've included on my death list. You know, certainly I've missed many. But yet, just to give an idea on how many young people have lost their lives behind youth violence and gangs, you know, in our city.
We are 20 years after the much-hyped Summer of Violence, and what's changed in that time?
You know, if people was to think 20 years later, 1993, when people started talking about Summer of Violence, you know, back then, you know, and even though I started my death list in 1988, I looked at 92, and I was telling Governor Romer back then that this is a problem that's going to have to be addressed. The mayor, again, was trying to fix the city, trying to deal with the build of a new image. But yet, as we were being introduced to it back then, many of our kids was trying to get a fit here in a new city such as Colorado. Many of our youngsters back then was trying to fill certain voids in their lives. And when they were introduced to this element, they felt, some of them felt that this was something that they wanted to try to pursue. So it was an experiment for many of our local kids, you know, who've never actually dealt with the, you know, problems that LA and other places were dealing with. So it started to grow. We saw that introduction, and I equated to almost like a cancer. And I was telling the city fathers back then that if we don't address this issue, it's going to be like a cancer. And if left unattended, it was going to grow and kill the body. The city fathers were saying, okay, Rev, let's not cause a panic. Let's take the time to evaluate, analyze this, and see if it's something that we really need to focus on. And as they were taking the time to evaluate and analyzing it, the numbers continued to grow. And before, the violence was more so an experimental type of thing. The drive-bys were not really intended to hit a target, but more so to intimidate. Mm-hmm. They were to go around and do drive-by shoot above heads and around just to see somebody scatter. But then when the first missile found a mark and we had to experience our first drive-by homicide, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not far from here, you know, by the young man of Delonte, Carolina, 16-year-old. Shot and killed, you know, two houses from his front porch. That started a chain reaction, you know, mm-hmm. thing. So 20, and then going up to the 93, and as I was telling Mayor.
That was all before 93.
That was before 93.
Okay, so and, you were saying it's coming, boom, there it
and,
is.
And but then, you know, when you I started looking at the victims on my death list up until 91, 92, it was pretty much stayed contained in certain areas, Hispanics and blacks. And it really wasn't Hispanics too much right then at that point. It was more so the Crips and the Bloods coming in, knowing that gangs had been around. And Hispanics had their own little pod, but it was, the focus was on the black gangs coming in from California at that time. But then everybody was just saying, analyze, just take the time. But then when it ventured out of its traditional realm, you know, of people who became victims.
Bystanders.
You know, in 93, you know, then we had the Marianne Lowe, you know, was a teacher coming in from Jefferson County, excited about teaching the DPS, was in her parking lot after moving to Denver. Gangsters came up, tried to take control of her purse. She didn't want to give it up. They killed her. We had a few blocks from here, the Hollers. Mm-hmm. You know, he was killed. The gangster jumped on him, killed him, beat her, almost lost her lives. We had Jack Roth driving down Mott View in his Mercedes. Gangsters came up and shot up his car. He died in the front yard on Mount View. We had a baby shot at the zoo.
Yeah.
And as I looked at all that, and then all of a sudden, you know, when the governor and others talking about, oh, we can't tolerate this kind of violence. We can't deal with this. We're going to have to implement laws. He called for a special session. He told the lawmakers, you come back in, get out of your bed. We got to address this issue. And then I had to stop and look. And I said, now, wait a minute. Why now? Why not in 91? Why not in 92? But as I looked in 93, and just those examples I just gave about the Marianne Lowe, the Jack Roth, and the Hollers, you know, Steve, they didn't look like me. Mm-hmm. They didn't look like you, Carlos. You know, these were, again, white folks that were becoming victims of an inner city problem. Mm. And then now we started to address it and look
got,
at it.
Got the whole state's attention. Our guest is Leon Kelly, the Reverend Leon Kelly, the founder of Open Door Youth Gang Alternatives. And he's got a golf tournament coming up, the 28th annual golf tournament. Been doing this for 7 years. That's coming up on Friday, July 12th at the Fossil Trace Golf Club. More information on this, lots of news, information, real stories at opendooryouth.org. Carlos, have you noticed how the Rev knows names and keeps track of names?
Tell you what.
Of the not just the perpetrators but the victims?
Yeah.
An amazing work. You said that there are many people involved in youth gang work now, mentoring and that kind of thing. The important thing you're saying to them is don't quit.
Don't quit. You know, but you know, if you think back in the days, you know, there are people coming together, and they were coming out of the woodwork talking about we're working with gangs. You know, the system came out with a little bit of change. It's almost like a carrot in front of everybody, and people were applying for it, saying that, you know, we could do this, we could work with these gangs. I've seen so many come and go. You know, it may look easy on the outside, but once you get involved and involved in it, it gets to a point where it said, I don't need this. You know, we chose not to depend upon the government money, the state money, because I've always said that once the money goes, so goes the program. You know, and true enough, we've seen evidence of that. And people have asked me, how is it that we've been able to keep our doors open throughout these years, you know, throughout the years? When you start to become, these victims become somewhat personal. These are our kids that are growing up in our hoods. I grew up in this neighborhood. You know, I've seen the changes, you know, and when it's, you're dealing with this on a daily basis, you know, it becomes personal, you know, and it ain't about the money. you know, is about the person, you know. And
Reverend Leon Kelly, founder of Open Door Youth Gang Alternatives, their door is still open. The website is opendooryouth.org. The golf tournament coming up Friday, July 12th. Former Broncos Steve Foley and LaRon Jackson chairing this event. They're going to roast the Rev as well, and he can take it. So step up. They need sponsors and golfers to get involved. And, you know, you said you're working with gang members going on third generation. Gangsters, their sons, and their son's sons.
Right. And, you know, you think about three generations of it. And at least my older gangsters from old school days, at least they had a sense of respect or reverence of the hood, of their grandma's house, mom's house, you know. And but, you know, this the young men that we're dealing with now, a lot of them, you know, are just reckless. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we do see a change in the generation of mindset.
Send your prayers and support to the Reverend Leon Kelly, opendooryouth.org. Check him out, the golf tournament coming up on July 12th. Reverend Kelly, our prayers, our best wishes go with you and your work for our streets.
Thank you, Steve. Carlos, God
bless. Again, thanks for coming, getting up and coming back to the neighborhood, man.
We here.
Appreciate it.